Now. Sports Talk. While you're on the clock. This is Zulak and Bertrand.
We're sports show radio hosts.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Got out of town on a boat from the Southern Islands. Sailing to reach before a following sea. She was making for the trades on the outside. And the downhill run to Papeete.
So we finally figured that out, Dan.
Yes.
Neither one of us knew what the hell he was saying there. Papeete.
I still don't know what it means.
And the downhill run to Papeete.
Is it an island of some sort?
Sure. Maybe we didn't figure it out, but at least we figured out what he was saying.
I swear to God, I thought of you when I heard this. We played this Saturday on the boat. Yeah. We went well watching.
Nice.
So we went out to Stillwagon Bank, saw the wells, and played this. Turned it up. It was awesome.
I know this is part
sitting
of your
back,
summer
having a
groove.
Cold one. Yeah. This is, and we love it down there, too. Like 101.9 Cape Cod's Classics. Listen to that down there.
Papeete on Tahiti is the capital of French Polynesia.
Who could forget it?
Papeete.
Dan Shaughnessy, now with us here in our brand new studios. What do you think of the new digs, Dan?
I love the new digs. And for me, it's meet the new digs, same as the old digs. I was in this building for 9 years. But this place is spectacular.
Yeah, they really jazzed it up.
It didn't look like
this
9 years ago.
Yep.
Dan Shaughnessy is brought to us by Mohegan Sun. Unlimited possibilities await you at Mohegan Sun. Plan your stay at MohegansUn.com. So, glad you made it here. You're familiar with the territory. You know the building around.
Yes.
So we can jump right in here. And we also determined before we sat down that we have not spoken with you since your self-described quick back and forth with my main man, David Price. I mean, were you throwing a little stink on it right there on the opening line of that column last week?
Well, there's just so much history there. You just kind of want to get it out there that we have a little fun. And again, I appreciate the professionalism of David Price to talk to me. So, because not everybody wants to do that.
All right, well, hang on here. Let's back up a little bit. Walk me through the process of how you do an interview with Price. Who do you? Because I think, you know, if you do it with the Patriots, you got to go through Stacey James and his.
Oh yeah,
and his
never
and his minions.
Never go through the team.
And only, obviously,
only
for how
things.
Price has been perceived or talked about here, he's got to be aware of things, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And we have considerable history. I've been all around it. You know, we had some bad moments last year in and around the Eckersley thing because I took a West Coast trip when all that stuff happened and it was unearthing what happened on that airplane flight earlier in the year. And, you know, we could not come to an agreement on that issue. So that was okay. But, you know, I told him what I was going to have to write, and it all came out. And then, you know, he was professional the rest of the year, and in the postseason, I remember he pitched great out of the bullpen against the Astros, and in the game they won, Joe Kelly got the win, I think, but Price was tremendous. And trying to get him to say good things afterwards was hard. He was doing the, you know, official room. He's behind the podium and a lot of writers. I think Kelly was up there with him. And I came back to him like, well, what about, you got a great ovation from the fans, you know, anything on that? And he's like, oh, I love my teammates. And I went back to it just to try and get him to say something nice about the fans. And he wouldn't do it. He would just go to the teammates. And that's always sort of his fallback, whether it's about Boston or the Red Sox or the Boston baseball experience or the media or the fans. He will just say, I love my teammates. I want to win with my teammates. And so that's his way of saying he hates everything else, which is okay. But that's sort of where it was. We talked in spring training a little bit. It's going to be, you know, we're all back to square one, just baseball this year, the whole bit. And everything was quite civil. I told him his beard looked like Richie Havens because he's working on the beard. So I told him who Richie Havens was because he didn't know. And
I think it's a great look.
Told him to look him up for the Woodstock generation. It's all there. So we had that. And
looks like he hasn't showered in 3 weeks.
And then he's come to the season. So to that point, so I checked with what time the clubhouse was going to open last Wednesday because he's pitching Thursday. And, I mean, they haven't lost a game since the Yankee blow-up. He had that night in Yankee Stadium. They'd won every game since then. So it's up to, like, I don't know, a lot in a row. And they said clubhouse is 3:10 today. That's early. You know, it's a 7 o'clock start. But, you know, that's the baseball life. So I'm over there, and they throw the door open at 3:10. You know, Johnny Miller's leading the charge. And it was clear at this point that your friend Pedroia was going to come out and make an announcement about going to Arizona. So people were sort of waiting on that in the middle of the room where they do a lot of the group interviews when the pitchers come out after their starts, and they have stuff in the middle of the room. You'll always see the same background, kind of this post behind where they're standing, and that's the area where they have the group interviews. I prefer to, you know, when I can, to try to get guys one-on-one. It's just better. And the group stuff's really not for me unless that's the only alternative. But I was intent on it. At least I didn't think he'd talk, but I said, I'm going to try because he's pitching tomorrow. And the first time he's been here since that abomination in New York. And then he had the bad one in Kansas City where he hit three guys in one inning. And he said he was searching for stuff. So I just made a beeline for his locker. He was over there. He's at his locker a lot, more than a lot of players and more than you would think. And,
now, what's that mean when they're at the locker? Are they available? Because remember, yeah, Nomar had the tape. You stay over there. I stay here.
It's a good question.
Don't come within the tape.
I mean, you know, all your years in the league, if you're at your locker, you're pretty much available. Yeah. I mean, that's the way it's
except if you're Terry Glenn.
That's still, yeah.
Only certain, if you're Nick Cafardo. Cafardo was the only guy Terry Glenn would talk to.
Certain guys, there's rules like that. But and some guys, like pitchers, won't talk the day before they pitch.
Right.
Some guys won't talk at all. If Manny was shutting it down for the year, Manny's not talking, you don't bother, whatever. I would always try with guys, even when they were officially not talking, because you don't want to say someone's not talking and find out that this was the day that he was. So I would generally try to do it. And I didn't know what Price's rules are this year. He's not been around a lot and doing mostly group things. But I went over to his locker and I said, he was trimming the beard, oddly enough. There's a mirror right next to his stall there. And he was his face was right up in the mirror and he's trimming it. And then the next thing you know,
trimming it with what? Clippers?
He sees
scissors?
Me, the reflection. Like,
he sees you coming.
A little.
So you make eye contact with David Price scissors. Through the mirror. This is how this started.
You just imagine you're just doing some personal grooming and you look in the background. It's like a horror movie.
Yeah,
like, you see Shaughnessy's face staring at you over the shoulder. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Dave.
So. he
can
acknowledged
Dave, got a second Dave?
Yeah, that was it. I said, you're going to be available for a couple words today. He goes, after I get done with trimming the beard here. And I'm like, okay.
It's so Rondo of him. I'm going to make you wait until I'm done trimming the beard.
I had a guy tell me to wait till he finished flossing his teeth once. That was a low moment.
God, you know what? But that, and I don't blame these guys too. And they'll get hammered because, you don't like the press. No, you know what? Locker, you're in your space there. And it's free roam. There's this guy, Dan Pyrus, God rest his soul. He's dead now. But he would come in there and literally stand and just watch guys. And I'm like, dude, you can do an interview? Like, you're here. Do work.
Right.
Like, he never wrote anything. Like, where's your microphone? What, you just want to hang out with the guys?
That's bad. I'm in there as little as possible. Only if there's something to do. And in truth, Hardy, the mirror imagery isn't as good as I'd like because he's looking to the side. I'm coming up from the side. I'm coming in like Jack Ruby from the side.
Right.
On this one too.
Damn it, Jack!
so it's a profile that I've got him at the mirror. But anyway, so he says, yeah, when I'm done here, I'm like, yeah, okay. So I went over and stopped. I'm talking to Jack McCormick and just middle of the room. And this great thing happened in the middle of this. Pedroia came out to talk to the masses about going to Arizona, which is maybe the season's over for him. You know, who knows what was going to come out of this. So all the cameras, and he's like, there's got to be like 20, 24 people scrummed around Pedroia, and now he's explaining what he's going to do. And in that time, Price finished up the beard exercise and went over to get a cup of coffee. And when he came back with the coffee, he nodded to me like, okay, we're good. So I went over and I said, this will be brief and as painless as we can make it, I promise. And I started in because, you know, you always want to start in about the baseball. It's a baseball. That's sort of what we're doing here. So, hey, I know you had a couple of bad ones. You said you were searching after that Kansas City game and you hit the three guys. Did you find it? Yes. I'm like, do you care to share what it is?
Yeah, can you tell me what you learned?
And then it's like, is it mechanical? Yes. So, you know, we're not. He's giving me answers, but it's not really something I can flesh out for 1,000 words so far. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to like explore a little further. Then maybe we're not going to talk as much baseball as we would have.
You did ask one more baseball question.
I think the Yankee thing.
No, how did you end up hitting three guys in one inning? Well, again, trying to warm him up a little bit. Yeah, it's a wonderful interview tactic.
Did you ever think you were going to hit the fourth?
And I did ask him if he had done that before, you know, the context of that.
Well, you said, I tried to make sure I got the ball in. I just got it too far in. Now, reading it, you really can't get the tone. What's the tone like?
It's professional.
Okay.
He's not expanding. He's not giving up a lot here, but he's answering the baseball questions. And then I thought the Yankee topic, you know, okay, well, you know, moving forward, now that you've just found it, whatever you're not going to tell me, but you've discovered in your search, and moving forward after these two stinkers, how do you feel about the rest of the year and the Yankees? And that was where we got, it was still on baseball then. And he talked about that, and he revealed this thing. I didn't know that he gave up 9 straight hits in a game against the Yankees, which is astounding. But yeah,
when he was in Detroit in 2015.
Yeah, he recited it. I'd never heard of that.
That'll take you to the next inning in a Little League game.
So we're not exactly, you know, getting into the hearts and flowers portion of the interview at this point. It's kind of still not great. And then I just started, you know, about hating Boston and the opt-out. I think it went to the opt-out next because the John Morosi stuff had been out there. Mm. And I said, well, there was some stuff out there. You talked to John Morosi about opting out, and I thought, let's get that on the record here, too. And he gave a pretty thoughtful answer to that, I thought.
Yeah. You asked him. I know you talked to John Morosi from MLB.com a little bit about this. Any chance you could opt out of your contract with the Red Sox at the end of this year? Price said, I'm not going to sit here and say there's 0% chance when there's always a chance of anything, but that's nothing that I'm thinking about or putting any thought to or talking to anyone else about. I expect to win, and I expect to do that.
I thought that was a really good answer for
him.
That's
a very good answer.
You know, I mean, he's not going to be a liar. If he opts out, he's not lied to anybody. He said, I'm not going to say never. But then he addresses the now and does that whole thing. So I thought that was good.
All right. We're going to continue with this dissecting because this is the first chance we've had to talk to Dan about his little chin wag there with David Price. And then we'll get into some of the All-Star stuff. We'll talk to him about J.D. Martinez. And the comments from and about J.D. Martinez. We'll get to all of it with Dan Shaughnessy. And we'll take your calls at 617-779-0985. Zolak and Bertrand Hardy in for Beetle.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I believe we have our first rule breaker. Dan Shaughnessy just walked into the studio finishing what appeared to be some kind of an edible. And I don't mean the marijuana kind.
Nice.
And I mean the illicit kind. Dan, no food in the new studio.
I know. I just stuffed a couple of grapes in my pocket.
That's all. Just stuff them in. Do you know this?
Just smuggling it's grapes,
funny.
Are you?
It's funny you put the grapes in your pocket because it was Napoleon Dynamite. That asked Pedro, are you done with your hash browns?
No.
Could I have your hash browns?
No, that is...
yes, it was.
You're talking about in the classroom scene when the bully kid says, Napoleon, give me some of your tots.
Yeah. The tots.
Yeah.
Are you done with your tots?
No, I'm starving. And then he kicks him in the side pocket of his cargo pants.
Yeah, but he took them from Pedro's lunch when they were sitting having lunch.
Napoleon took Pedro's tots and put them in his pocket.
I have your tots.
Okay. Well, Dan just smuggled grapes.
Because you look like Napoleon Dynamite. That's
yes, I've never seen the film.
It's a keeper.
I can't imagine you'd enjoy it.
I've heard about it.
Yeah.
I mean, your pants
a lot of emails and pictures over the years.
Before we get to anything else, Sarge, do you want to relay what you told us off the air during the break there?
Oh, sure, yeah. So, you know, when Dan was talking about Johnny Miller a few moments ago, it just had me think about it. Got a phone call from him last week. And, you know, I got to know him over the years from WBZ and so forth.
He's always there.
Wonderful guy.
Always in the clubhouse.
Great guy. Yeah, yep. Real hard worker. And he goes, Sarge, you know, the Foo Fighters are coming to Fenway next week. Do you think there'll be drugs at the concert?
So Johnny Miller asked you this?
Yes. And I'm like, well, you know, Johnny, I will not be at the concert as of now, but if I were a betting man... Yes.
So that either tells me he's already got tickets and he's looking for drugs and not to bring the drugs, or he's looking for both.
I don't know.
Maybe or he wants to acquire tickets to get the drugs.
He doesn't want to be thrown off by the presence of a lot of drugs
right.
at the show.
Yeah, I think he was just messing with you.
Probably. Yeah, he wanted to say hi, Johnny.
It reminded me of something that happened years ago when I was working in Las Vegas, and there, we had festival shows at Sam Boyd Stadium, which is kind of like out... east of Las Vegas.
Okay.
But earlier in the summer, what's our station here in the new building? Hot 96.9?
Yes.
Yeah, baby, be not a Q-tip.
Okay. The station that would be the equivalent of that of our cluster in Las Vegas had their festival show earlier in the summer, right? Okay. On the grass field at Sam Boyd Stadium. We showed up a couple of months later and start setting up for our festival show, and there are tiny marijuana plants growing all over the field. from people who were taking the stuff out and, you know, throwing the seeds down. But apparently that was a conducive climate for the plants to grow.
Oh, that's awesome.
There was an engineer out there cultivating those plants, trying to save them before they got trampled upon. So that is, as far as I know, a true story. Let's continue here. We'll take your call, 617-779-0985. Let's go to Henry here. Henry, we're going to see if the phones work here for us in our new studios.
What's up, Hank?
Brand new studios. You're on with Zoe and Hardy and Dan. Yes, I can hear you. Good. Go ahead, Henry.
Awesome. Hey, so my question's kind of for Dan. You know, I don't feel really great as well as the Red Sox have played about the starting pitching, especially going into the playoffs, being that Price is probably your two starter. Seeing that there's not much out there on the starting pitching market, do you think it makes sense for the Red Sox to make a move to bolster the bullpen with somebody like, I don't know what the asking price would be, and obviously not you don't want to pay anything too high, but someone like maybe like a Zach Britton or a Brad Hand or somewhere where you can, you know, where those guys that might not go deep in the game, like Price or like Rodriguez if he's back, or even, you know, Pomeranz. You know, because I guess we're stuck with what we got at starting pitching. But to bolster the bullpen and put something good behind him, is that a move worth making? And do we have the assets to pull something like that off?
Well, the latter part of your question is the hard part, which is the assets, because they don't have anything in the system, as we know. They're up against the luxury threshold tax. They're going to have to go get – I think they should address both areas. And, you know, New York's liable to do more than Boston over the next 2 weeks as we get closer to the deadline. But I think that – they have needs in both areas. And this is one of the weird things, because it sounds so strange. They're 68-30, a 4.5-game lead. It's a historic 112-win pace. And I'm telling you, this is going to get more winning in the next three series. They come back from the break. They play the Tigers. Sorry, Hardy.
No,
they play the Orioles, and then they play the Twins. Those three teams are an aggregate 63 games under .500.
Twins came in trouble last time they saw them, though.
I understand. And that's always possible. Anything can happen. But they might rip off another 9 out of 10 right out of the jump before they play Philly, and then they start to play real teams again in the months of August and September. There's a 4-game series of the Yanks, and we know all that. Their schedule is actually harder than the Yankees the rest of the way, but it's not the first 10 days out. So you've got this amazing – they'll be at a .700 winning percentage perhaps, and yet what you say is true. The starting pitching, because of what happened with Rodriguez, I mean, one of the takeaways of that weekend, people are going to be talking about Mookie Betts' 13-pitch at-bat grand slam and Xander Bogaerts' walk-off grand slam, and what a weekend, highlight reel, all true. The takeaway from that weekend
That's
is Eduardo Rodriguez getting tripped up over first base by Gurriel doing a head-first slide and rolling his left ankle and having the manager tell us it's serious ligament damage, which is a lot of information, in my view, for a guy who generally doesn't come back quickly from anything. He's had kneecap trouble 2 years in a row.
Look how long it took him for the kneecap stuff.
Thank you.
Remember the Farrell we had fun with Farrell.
It's the same leg.
Yeah.
It's the same leg. And I've ruled him out. I've ruled out Pomeranz, Wright, and Rodriguez for the rest of the year. Whatever you get, that'll be gravy. Surprise me, whatever. So your starters, you're patching it together after the top three. And this inserts Price into the mix in a very big way, where now it's Sale, Porcello, Price, and then they could have Hernandez, they could have Johnson. I mean, who knows who the fourth guy could be. Or it could be one of the aforementioned wounded guys. But I have no faith in seeing Wright, Pomeranz, or Rodriguez again this year. So that's the starting issue when you get toward the playoffs. The bullpen thing, it's true. They've been outscored in the eighth inning this year, I think 46-33. Kelly's in a bad slump right now. You don't know what you can count on with Barnes and Workman. They're very heavy from the right side. And, yeah, all the guys you mentioned, Britton, any of those guys, they should be in on all those people. And I hope Dombrowski's able to do something, because, as we know, he needs to get this year's Addison Reed. He needs to be that guy this year. As we know, Dombrowski's fatal flaw has been the bullpen, particularly, well, when Detroit, it was the closing
this
bullpen.
Is the closer,
it was
yeah.
not good. But that's something to be addressed, because this team has to win now or next year. It is a win now mode that they need to do. Go for it.
But when you talk about the starting pitching, Dan, and this is what I think about, and maybe it's foolish of me to just assume that, you know, the postseason is a lock, because there are a couple of teams that are going to have very high win percentages here by the time you get to the postseason. But assuming they're there, do you need beyond three? You just mentioned it. But between Porcello, Sale, and Price, Shouldn't that be enough for your postseason run?
You need four. Otherwise, you're going to be using Sale on 3 days. You're going to get in a situation. I know what you're saying, especially the 3 out of 5 with the days off and whatnot. You need four.
I heard Felger and Hook on this yesterday, and Hook was adamant that if the playoffs started today, you would have Sale take the ball in game one, and you would give the ball to Rodriguez in game two. I'm with him on that, but Felger's right. It's got to be David Price because that's the way your team's built. You just can't change your team that way. Just can't, you know, just go with your gut right now.
Well,
you're paying him for a certain, you're paying him a certain amount of money for a reason. That's to go out there and be a one or a two. And if you don't have faith in him, then it's the wrong guy. He's your number two.
He's paid like your top two is no question about
it. Any of the top three that you roll up, whether it's Sale, whether it's Price, or whether it's Porcell, they've all won Cy Youngs.
Correct.
So that's what you got to roll
Sale
up.
Sale hasn't, but
I mean, he probably is going to win one. Yeah. That's what I mean.
Yeah. So, no, it's the rotation. We'll see where they are. And, I'm not putting Rodriguez into that because I just don't think he's going to be back. He could be back. I'm not counting on it.
Time he's ever gone through seven?
If I had to start the playoffs today, I would have Porcello in two and Price in three. I don't like Price in that second game. And the lefty-righty-lefty thing, I like to mix that up a little bit, too.
All right, Dan. Did you watch a home run derby last night?
Not an inning, not a swing, not a pitch. I watched the Robin Williams. The Robin Williams documentary.
Good, we're going to football next. Yes. Yeah. All right.
No, how was that? That a good documentary?
Robin Williams, 2 hours, HBO. It was on from 8
Ooh,
to 10.
Nice.
Yeah, it was really good. Check it out. No question. That was a no-brainer.
Doesn't interest you in the slightest?
Not like it did. Again, it's a little bit like that slam dunk thing, and I understand that. And I looked at the names of the guys
right
in
there.
It.
It says everything about it.
I mean, you looked at the names in it. Who's Muncy? How did Muncy do?
Chuck Muncy used to be a good running back for San Diego
Muncy
Chargers.
Muncy, a Dodger. Doesn't even start. It's not even a starter. You know, so no, I wasn't.
Just, from a entertainment aspect of it.
I already watch for hate.
I hate watch for about 15, 20 minutes.
Did they talk about launch angle at all during it?
I'm sure Jess Mendoza did. I saw Tom Morgan text us something about, Tom, at what point did they go to, what was it, the analytical part of the broadcast? Was that the launch angle? Snap, what is it?
They went to the StatCast.
Oh, the exit velocity.
There you go.
So they did exit velocity and all that stuff on Home Run Derby.
Yeah.
Does Tom have his own microphone now, by the way?
Yeah, you want to try it out?
Yeah, let's try it out. T-Bone.
Right, I'll turn it on.
What did you text us last night?
Hello?
It doesn't sound anything like you.
What the heck?
Doesn't? It was like they went to the StatCast simulcast version, and they were talking about launch angle, exit velocity, and like swing veracity.
Yeah, did you get excited?
Swing veracity?
What was the highest exit velocity that you saw on the time you were watching?
I watched it for like 2 seconds. So.
Oh, wow. Okay. Because I had one point this year where exit velocity interested me, and that was when Price was in the middle of that blow up in Yankee Stadium. It was so loud. When the ball was hitting the bat.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
Even
if you were looking down
for a pitch and you heard it, you'd have to look up. You knew. It was unusually loud. And Stanton, in the middle of all that, Stanton hit a single to left center.
Would have killed somebody?
I turned to Alex Spear. He's always there. I'm like, Alex, what was the exit velocity on that thing? He said, actually, it's 120 miles an hour. It's the fastest of the year. Like,
you know what?
Well, you could hear it. It was like, I think it's the fastest of the year. It's almost the fastest. It's almost like Mach 2 or whatever. It's like you can't actually do it any harder, I don't think.
There was only one time.
Like everything that increases over like 115, it's like an exponential increase.
Yeah, like earthquakes, 7.1, 7.2 is 10 times the thing.
There was only one time I
suck from the starting pitcher. It's like, wow.
One time
you think an exit velocity of 117 sucks if you're a pitcher. Yeah. 118 sucks like 10 times more.
Do you remember when J.D. Martinez, that first 2 weeks until he started to get going?
Yeah.
The Red Sox were tweeting out his exit velocity on lineouts.
Yeah, sure.
Well, that bowls it out, but he hit that 107 miles per hour.
They were doing that with JBJ when he was hitting buck 80. I know. He's getting good exit velocity, good barrel.
Anything. Yeah. All right, we got to talk a little J.D. Martinez, some Justin Verlander, too, and then we'll get to football. Right. Zoe wants to get back to Rob Gronkowski, which we will. With you, Dan, after Sarge gives us the Hub headlines here, Zolak and Bertrand, Hardy in for Beetle.
Sports Hub headlines.
A week from Thursday, Patriots training camp starts in Foxborough. Rob Gronkowski, he is expected to report on time. That according to ESPN's Adam Schefter despite his ongoing contract negotiations. Some other NFL news. Pittsburgh Steelers running back Le'Veon Bell failed to reach an agreement with the team on a multi-year deal before the franchise tag deadline yesterday, so he'll play on a one-year contract. Agent also said this will likely be his final year in Pittsburgh. Major League Baseball All-Star Game tonight in Washington. Mookie Betts, he'll lead off for the American League. And J.D. Martinez, he'll bat cleanup for the AL All-Stars.
It's awesome. You know, it's a blessing. It's a dream, you know, just to be in this uniform where it was my childhood dream, you know, just they were my favorite team. And then now being here representing them, it's cool.
And Chris Sale will get the start for the American League. Max Scherzer goes for the National League All-Stars. Last night at the Home Run Derby, Bryce Harper, he won in front of his hometown crowd. And the Baltimore Orioles very close to trading Manny Machado. That, according to ESPN, the Dodgers are the leading contender to acquire Machado. That could happen as early as tomorrow. Headlines are brought to you by Doctors Robert Leonard and Matthew Lopresti, the hair doctors of El Presidente David Portnoy at 1-800-GET-HAIR. Mike Riley on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update in 30 minutes.
Miss something?
So what happens now?
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
First day for Zolak and Bertrand here in the new studio. Who was, it was you and Arcan on yesterday.
Correct.
From the Sports Hub Golf Club tournament, which
yes.
we'll talk about coming up here, too. A wonderful day at Atkinson Resort and Country.
Which actually teed off at 1 and not 1:30.
Yes,
we kept reading 1:30, 1:30, 1:30, 1:30, and then all of a sudden all the carts left at 1. I'm like, where are
you
they going?
You kept saying 1:30. That's why Jim Murray was late, because you've been saying 1:30.
I didn't say 1:30. You read what's handed to you. Arcan was reading it, too.
Well, it was 1 o'clock.
We
had to wait for Jim in the parking lot.
We talked about this on air for weeks coming up to it. 1:30, 1:30, 1:30.
I never said that.
I even said that's crazy to do it that late.
We talked about it on air. It would have been fine.
I said, wow, you're going to be there till 8. Time to get out of there.
I don't even remember. I think around 7:30.
Yeah.
7:45.
It's not bad.
Something like that. All right. We'll get to that. For now, though, we're still talking with Dan Shaughnessy here, baseball. J.D. Martinez at the All-Star game yesterday.
Yep.
Had some media availability, and you can hear him right at the beginning here. He gets asked a question, and he's going to reference somebody standing right next to him. That someone standing right next to him is his agent, Scott Boras. But we'll listen to it here first. Go ahead.
JD, you're the opt-out clause. There's been a little bit of talk about potentially.
That's the guy you want to talk to right there.
Will you be open to more set in stone?
Hold
kind
it.
Of long-term?
Hold on. Stop.
So
he's already having fun with the money questions about, you know, where I'm ranked and my slugging and all that. You're going to defer to the agent right away. Why is the agent standing with you next to an interview?
Talk about an opt-out, blah, blah, blah. And he says, don't talk to this guy right here. That's right.
JD, you're the opt-out clause. There's been a little bit of talk about potentially.
That's the guy you want to talk to right there.
Will you be open to more set in stone, kind of long-term deal with the Red Sox?
Hold on 1 second.
So just so we're I don't know where these were done yesterday, but traditionally these interviews are at a hotel. And they'll take over a ballroom, like the Patriots,
yeah,
like the Super Bowl. They'll
right.
have the stations all around the big ballroom.
They put you in a desk.
Guy to guy.
Right.
So it's not quite as offensive as it sounds, like in the locker room where you wouldn't have an agent standing next to a guy, you know, at his stall. That's
no,
just not
no.
done. So this isn't quite as, like, the fact that Boras would be handy to this particular kind of scrum. And they're all going on at once as you go from station to station to get different guys. Betts is doing his thing over here, and there'll be like 30 players in there. So you have a lot going on. And Boras traditionally, like especially at the league meetings, All-Star Game, World Series, he is a presence. If you watch the Dodgers or Angels, that's him behind the backstop. He's like the Jeremy Capstein of all L.A.
He's
baseball.
He's got his hair slicked back and he's yeah. leaning against the wall holding a ball.
Always there. Can't wait to talk to you. I mean, you can't shake him when you're out there playing those guys. So it's he's present. But anyway, I just want to clarify so you don't think that he's, you know, in the next
okay,
stall
good.
Over.
Good
yeah.
then.
Okay.
Set in stone, kind of long-term deal with the Red Sox?
Absolutely. You know, that's something that's obviously would have to be discussed, like, you know, later. But Yeah, I mean, I like my time there. You know, it's been fun so far, so I don't see why not. You know, I like the front office. I like, you know, the managers. I like everything, you know, kind of everything the way it's run. I think it's trending in a really good way, and I wouldn't mind staying there.
All right, hold on. So it's trending in a really good way? It's the Boston freaking Red Sox. Talk about history. Talk about the championships they've won. And you're on a record pace for wins this year. And it's trending the nice way. He likes the manager. He likes you know, the players.
It's trending in a really
good way.
The
front office seems nice. It's nice. Everybody seems nice.
Yeah, I think he's being intentionally understated there. Doesn't want to lock in too much love and get all emotional about it. And I think he's still, everything I've heard since he got here, he's still wounded by the process. And that
sure is.
Felt slighted by what went down. And that I know the number's high, but that they got him for their number. They won the staring contest. And they're getting this great service for relatively low dough, especially compared to Stanton. And I don't think he likes that.
So you mentioned how the deal went down is not as much as he wanted, blah, blah. J.D. Martinez blamed kind of the media at large for this, saying that, you know, free agency really can't go down this way, right? That it was, what was the word that we, it wasn't disgraceful, it was...
disrespectful?
It'll come to me, but the fact that media people can disparage players and somehow drive their price down. And, you know, we talked about this saying like, well, I remember people talking about how much he could be worth. And certainly around here, maybe he's not worth that much, but apparently there was one guy. And who is it from MLB Network here that we have the audio from, Jim?
Harold Reynolds.
Thank you.
Former All-Star himself.
So this is the first time presumably that these two have talked. It sounds like, and this happened yesterday also. Harold Reynolds and J.D. Martinez.
Hey, who do I have? I have the best hitter in baseball right now. I got J.D. Martinez here. Now, Al, Greg, Pedro, he was hot at me, man. This has been a long time to get him in here because he was not happy with me this winter. So, J.D., man, you still mad at me?
We've had our differences. We got to talk about it. We'll be all right.
We're going to talk off camera. He was upset. Hey, look, we were talking about this winter and how turbulent the winter was, and they were throwing out different numbers, and I was like, hey, he's asking for too much. Well, you're proving me wrong. You're swinging the bat. So we'll get to that. I wanted to bring that up. But, hey, let's talk about Boston.
Good interview.
Yeah.
Real, real good-hearted interview here.
That was good.
What? Get to that. They didn't get to it. Get to it.
But Harold's acknowledging the awkwardness of this, sure. The fact that they're together. I like that.
But listen to the way J.D. Martinez answers him when he first asked, when Harold Reynolds first says, are you still mad at me?
J.D., man, you still mad at me?
We've had our differences. We got to talk about it. We'll be.
Jim, do you have the Tom Brady from the Jim Gray interviews on Westwood One? I don't know, Scratchy.
Yeah. I'm
forced to laugh.
That answer is right, yes. There, it sounds like Nomar, you know, the way he answers that with that little sneer. He's smiling, but he's actually not smiling. He's just baring his teeth at you.
But had he gotten more money, I don't know J.D. Martinez. I haven't seen him here long enough. I don't know anything about him in terms of what drives him. We know that David Ortiz needed to play with a chip on his shoulder. You know, something, you know, real or imagined, that was somehow holding him back or somehow discounting, sure, him or discrediting him. Maybe this is playing into the way J.D. Martinez is hitting the ball this year. The fact that he didn't get as much money as he wanted, and it's a case of I'll show them.
I'm sure there's an element of that.
Uh-huh.
Hey, yo. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt Tom there.
Tom.
Uh-huh. That's what we got here.
That's Nomar right there.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Is that Nomar from the Nomar ball when he needs you guys? Like to show up and like say, hey, do such good work.
Hardy, I think what you're saying is true, and I don't know. I don't know what the guy needs to motivate himself. He's clearly on a mission. But it just appears at this time in his life, in this time in the game, this is what he is. And that's why it feels like he's not going to be one of these guys who takes the pipe in the playoffs like they've had.
Just what?
He chokes in the playoffs.
Oh.
You know, just whatever you want to call it.
Takes the gas pipe.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that just what that's in reference
it's
to?
Yeah, it's an old school expression, you know. So I just feel like he looks like nothing. He's the same guy. no matter what situation, what ballpark, what pitcher. I mean, it's just there's so much mechanical about what he does. So I'm not convinced his numbers would be any different if he had gotten the boatload. Some guys need that motivation. He's having a better year than Stanton, not at the All-Star game. And good for him. But, yeah, I think it certainly stays in his head whether or not it's driving his performance.
Okay, two things to get to here. One more baseball item about Justin Verlander and what he wants to see abolished in Major League Baseball. We'll explore the origins of the phrase take the pipe, and then we'll get into some football with Dan Shaughnessy here on Zolak and Bertrand.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5 The Sports Hub, brand new studios here on Morrissey Boulevard.
Feels good.
Happy to be here. Dan Shaughnessy with us. Dan, first of all, you said a pitcher took the pipe in the playoffs. To your understanding, I have not looked this up. I believe that means take the gas pipe. Does
it's
it
bad.
Not?
Yeah, it's bad. It's like there's a million of those. You know, take the apple. Wait, that's always bad.
Well, I never heard that either.
I've never heard that one.
Yeah. I never heard take the pipe. The
yeah. But yeah. To my understanding, from two things. Number one,
you ever take the pipe, Jim?
You ever seen the movie Radio Days? Zoe, you're a big fan of 80s and 90s movies.
Totally.
Radio
never
Days.
Saw it.
Okay. There's a lot of talk of you take the gas pipe, y'all. You want me to take you to a fair? I'll take the gas pipe. Which I believe back in the day, Dan, meant you would go down to like the furnace or go down to the cellar or the root cellar or whatever. If there was a gas line coming to the house, you would, like Willie Loman did in Death of a Salesman, you would put a little extension on that thing and you would suck a little gas every day in an attempt to kill yourself.
Yeah, it's when you put it that way, it sounds really bad.
It does. Taking the apple might be worse, but no one knows what the hell that means. But taking the pipe literally means you would like suck some gas in an attempt to just get it over with.
I can tell you, they're both the late great Will McDonough would use those expressions around the office. You know, this guy takes the pipe in the big moments.
You know who we have doing that for us around here now? Billy Lanny, a sneaky old soul that will use expressions like that, most of which we can't say out of
air.
Right. Okay, Justin Verlander wants the DH out of baseball. So, as we all know, the DH exists in the National League, not in the American League. He talked with Bob Nightingale of USA Today, and he said, I would take the DH out, even though I know the National League is talking about implementing the designated hitter. So, while it looks like if the two leagues were to be playing under the same rules, it's going to be because the National League would adopt the DH as opposed to the American League eliminating the DH.
Yeah, there was some... a momentum for the notion that you might hear the NL's adopting it, you know, to make baseball really universal. I mean, it's everywhere, right? Except the National League of the major leagues, but the National League farm teams, they have it, right? The DHs, which is weird. So you get guys come up to the majors who've never batted, and obviously all your little leagues and Babe Ruth and, you know, the whole thing. We've been down this path, wood bats and all those, but it's not going away. So Justin Verlander, who we love. This is just baying at the moon. It is, if anything, it's just going to be, you know, reach over to the National League eventually. And yes, I was at the first game of the DH, 1973, Fenway Park, New York Yankees at Boston, April. It was a weekday, and Orlando Cepeda and Ron Bloomberg were the two DHs.
Who could forget?
Bloomberg was the first actual DH. He's a Yankee. He lives.
The notion, though, that it really comes under the microscope in the World Series, and that's what Verlander talks about. He says, I like the game with no DH personally, but who knows? Maybe one day I'll be in the National League, so maybe they can keep it out of the league for a while. But he said that, you know, last year you got the Astros, you're playing the Dodgers. Their guys are, you know, when we're in their park, their batters are used to hitting.
Sure.
And they may not necessarily be good, but they've got a little bit more of a chance to succeed in that. It's 100% an advantage for the National League when you get to the World Series.
100%. Yes, it is. And it's weird to have a sport where there's two different sets of rules. And then when you collide, and it would be like colliding in the Super Bowl, and one team has a 2-point conversion, the other team doesn't. It's,
it's like
the
Pro Bowl.
Can't use it.
Pro Bowl, if you're down in the second half and you score and you're down by more than a touchdown, you get to keep receiving.
There you go.
You don't have to kick off. Yeah. It's like stupid.
No good.
Let's just change the rules.
It's not going away. And oddly enough, one of the great moments of this Red Sox season is the night that Scherzer starts against the Red Sox at home, and the Sox load the bases in the second inning, and Porcello's up there, and they know each other from their days in Detroit. He knows Porcello can't hit. He knows what he can and cannot do. He throws in two breaking balls, and he's up 0-2. And instead of just burying another breaking ball, he decides he'll come in with a fastball. And Porcello does what any pitcher would do. I got only one chance here. If he throws a fastball, I'm going to start swinging as he's winding up and get ahead of it. And he does, and his 0-2 pitch goes over the left fielder's head for a three-run double to make it 3-0, and Washington loses the game 4-3. That's the way their season's gone. But Scherzer is like maybe the best pitcher in baseball, certainly one of the top four, and he loses the game throwing an 0-2 cookie to Rick Porcello. Unbelievable.
Yeah, why do that?
Yeah, but it did give us a moment with a pitcher hitting where it was actually kind of rewarding to see some action there. But when you routinely watch National League games, they're faster, and one out of three innings is basically a layup if Kershaw's pitching or Lester, somebody like that. They know that this inning is going to be good. And by the way, Lester did hit a home run this year.
Yeah, who's the last pitcher to hit? Was it Beckett? Beckett could hit pretty good, couldn't he?
Boy.
Can't remember.
As soon as Bronson Arroyo left, he started hitting home runs. He had a couple, like with his. When did he go to the Mets?
Reds, I think.
Reds.
Yeah. Cincinnati, yeah.
Yeah, but I think Arroyo had a couple of home runs right after he left. I don't know. Zoe, did you and Arcan talk at all yesterday about Keith Olbermann's idea to fix the All-Star game?
No.
You didn't touch on that?
Did not.
We'll get to it later, Dan. Because Zoe is desperate to talk some more football, which we can do here with you. Rob Gronkowski reportedly will be at the start of training camp, which begins next week. He's not going to be holding out. And there are plenty of opportunities for players to hold out around the league this year, and you're going to be seeing guys holding out, not going to camp. Rob Gronkowski reportedly will not be one of them. That has to do not only with him, but with his agent and the team and what the team has to do with another guy that they seem to be a 1-2 punch in terms of how the Patriots are setting up their roster here for the next couple of years. So we'll talk to you about that in 90 seconds here. Sarge has the Hub headlines, and then we'll do another hour with Dan Shaughnessy here on Zolak and Bertrand.